This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Food for Thought, top of the hour. We are live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You still have plenty of time to come on down and have some lunch at Midtown Cafe. Today, she has a portobello mushroom soup.
I had to have it. And,
Yes, and I was standing in there, and Mike caught me. I was putting a couple of chips in my mouth, and I looked up when you were staring at me. I almost had a heart attack.
Know,
I'm glad it wasn't Rocco, though.
Oh, I know. I know, it's your worst nightmare is to have somebody see you eating a potato chip.
I know.
But hey, we finally got rid of the four bags of Lay's chips we had. Your nephew,
yes.
Elliot, took them out because, you know what, 16 or whatever age he is, doesn't like
16.
To eat potato chips. So he can finish those off for us.
There you go.
Because there's four different kinds, but anyway.
Yeah.
I digress.
And we are welcoming back my sister-in-law, Lori. She was on the Camino Walk. CaminoMentalHealthWalk.com. You can still check that out, and you can still donate to the cause as well. And so, I mean, it was so exciting watching your journey, all the pictures and the blog and everything. So how was it?
I think we are still wrapping our heads around it. It seems surreal, almost an out-of-body experience. It was such a different type of getaway versus a vacation. This the whole experience was long and different. So I'm still trying to absorb it all and remember some of the things that have affected me. But definitely life-changing, challenging, gratifying, uplifting. I mean, every one of those feelings.
Now, okay, so for listeners that are tuning in and aren't you know, quite aware of, you know, what you did, explain where you started, where you ended, and
how long it took.
So we started July 2nd. We arrived in the southern western part of France. It's called St. John's in English. We were there for one night, and the first day we walked, we actually crossed over the border into Spain and began our journey there.
Is that the Pyrenees
picture.
Mountains?
Right into the Pyrenees Mountains.
Okay.
Day one. Oh, we were all gung-ho, no blisters, skipping along the trail until we hit the inclines, which were pretty steep. The elevations, I think, were about 5,000 feet day one. And we were in the Pyrenees Mountains for probably 3, 4, 5 days up and down. And the whole journey took us about 32 days from the beginning in France to the very western coast of Spain. So in and out of the Pyrenees, into flatter regions, still hilly, into the Sierra Mountain range, which is the western part of Spain, and then into Santiago.
What was that feeling like when you you were approaching? I mean, what was going through through your mind and how you were feeling? And
you know, I think for everybody it's different. It's a different experience. For me, this was a I was doing it for a reason, and everybody does do it for a reason, but for me it was very sentimental. So the last day's journey into Santiago, I purposely wanted to walk alone. It was about, I think, a 15K journey, which is probably
nine miles.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. And thinking of everything I had been through in the last 5 weeks, what everybody has been through, and then I just needed to kind of collect my thoughts as to what I was going to experience, because people would share that they were disappointed in what they saw, or it wasn't what they had expected, or it was too crowded, and I didn't want to listen to that anymore. I just wanted to have my own experience. And going into the city, so you arrive in the city, but it's still another 4 miles to get to the cathedral, which is the absolute end, which is the Cathedral of St. James, which is Santiago, is Spanish for St. James. I was filled with emotion. I mean, I was very teary-eyed as I arrived, because it was such a long journey. You know, just so many experiences. You get to know people like family along the way. And you arrive in this piazza where all the pilgrims funnel in. And what you see are a lot of the pilgrims on their backs with their heads on their backpacks, just gazing at the cathedral. I mean, they're just scattered all over the place.
Now, how many people, like, at a time are, you know, when you're saying this, like, when you got to the cathedral and then, of course, you know, you sat down and, like, how many people funneling in? I mean, lots
always.
And lots?
It's
like,
constant.
Always? So it is constant.
Yes. So it depends. You know, I mean, you would see some families arrive together. You'd see people that have met each other along the way. There could be a dozen of them. On one particular day, there were, I guess it was a Boy Scout group from France. And what they had done is there were several Boy Scout groups in France that had met. They had all taken different trails, and they all funneled into this one trail at the end of the cathedral. And there were 450 of them. They were probably all high school, older young men. And they came in with their flags, singing in French, the Song of Santiago. And they all were in uniform. So that was something that I was amazed to see. And they filled up the whole square, and they sang for probably an hour.
That is something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this particular 500-mile trek is something that, as you pointed out, people do for varying reasons. So it's something that a lot of people have heard of, and the people that live along the way are pretty much folks that help enable or give you rest, comfort, food, encouragement. So they must really love seeing new faces.
Absolutely. The natives of Spain are incredibly loving people. We would walk through village after village, and the phrase that we heard thousands of times was Buen Camino. And you would hear it as you were walking and you approached a village, and it was farmers, workers, cafe workers smiling at you, and the phrase was Buen Camino. And you would often say it to people that would be passing you, that are doing the Camino. But the native people, you know, for good reasons, they have embraced this walk. I think it's helped their economy. They know the reason we do it. For most people, it's a spiritual journey. I mean, it is the journey of an apostle of Christ. So although some people may not go there for that reason, you can see that they glean a little bit of that spiritual part of it, regardless of what their reason is there. But most of these small villages, one village had a population of 11 people, and there was a church. There was a church in every village we went through, every village along the whole way. But the people of Spain were genuinely embracing.
So you stayed in people's houses every night, pretty much, right?
Well, that's what it used to be thousands of years ago. A thousand years ago, that was what an albergue was, that you knock on a stranger's home after a day's journey. Can I rest here? Mm-hmm. Yes, you can rest here, and we'll give you a meal. Today, the albergues are more of like a business owned by other people. Some more sophisticated than others. The majority of the ones we stayed in were not sophisticated. It was a pretty large building with a lot of beds, anywhere from 20 to 200 beds. Some of the rooms we stayed in, yeah, there were over 100 people.
How are the showering facilities?
Yeah, no. No. My first day back home here in my house, I was in the shower, and it's just a regular tub shower, mm-hmm. and I couldn't believe the room I had. I was like a dance floor. No, some of the showers were co-ed. Some of the showers had no privacy, but we got to a system. I think by week three, after hiking all day, you're sweaty from head to toe. It's early afternoon. We take a shower and wash our dirty clothes in the shower.
So you'd wear your clothes into the shower.
Yeah, I would do that if there was no washing machine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we would do. And then toward the very, very end, I was wearing whatever I was hiking with in the morning. I would wear that to bed and just roll out of bed and put my shoes on. And that's how we would roll. A lot of people did that. because you're limited. I mean, we were down to 2.5 outfits
at the end. Talk about little minor bumps, scrapes, and perhaps injuries. No matter how good a shape you're in, you're still going to have an issue.
Yes, everyone said, you're going to get blisters. And even I thought in the back of my mind, I'm in pretty good shape. I don't know. You know, I'm going to put Vaseline on my feet every day. But no, I had probably a dozen blisters. And unfortunately, I have a daughter that was with us that was a dancer and knows how to handle blisters. So we would pop them and put ointment on them. And, you know, what was tough was putting our shoes on the next day.
It must have been.
Blisters was, I think, is something that most people had to contend with. It was a common sight in the afternoon. You'd shower, take off your shoes, and put your flip-flops on. And mostly everybody you saw had Band-Aids on their feet. It was, you know, that was something you contended with. And into the two-week mark, you saw knee injuries, shin splints, hip injuries, shoulder injuries, lots of injuries by week two. Yeah, we were lucky we didn't have anything serious.
Right, so if you went back again, though, you would know how to adjust for that, right? You would probably get more appropriate footwear and a few other things that would alleviate that.
Yeah, I think, I had a good pair of Merrells, which were great, which were very good to me hiking here in the White Mountains. I think it's the everyday friction of your shoes. I'm not sure if you can eliminate that or get a better pair of shoes. Some people would have a pair of Teva sandals with them, so they would alternate with their socks. They would wear their socks. There was one Korean man that was walking this walking this route the entire 500 miles barefoot.
Why?
Wow.
Was it like a self-punishment thing?
I don't know if it was a challenge. Sometimes I think it is,
a spiritual
thing. Yeah. He was alone.
Yeah.
But yeah, you see a lot of different things. Yeah, you see a lot of different. It's like walking with the United Nations. Mm-hmm. You're with people from all over the world.
Keep a journal.
Not a good one. I did write notes on my phone. I did not have a pen and paper. It was just no room in my backpack. Yeah, enough to do the blog. Yeah. Really, unfortunately, that was all I was able to do. But a lot of people did journal. I know my daughter did journal.
Well, we need to take a break, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what you ate on the Camino.
I was hoping you'd get to the food part, Carol.
And along the way.
Yes. So I've seen pictures.
For listeners tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought, and we are in studio with my sister-in-law, Lori, who just walked the Camino Walk. You can check out her blog at CaminoMentalHealthWalk.com. That's correct, right? CaminoMentalHealthWalk.com. Yep. And you can check out her blog and look at the pictures and all there. Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Carol Lawrence and Mike Morin on The Pulse 107.7 WTPL. We're at 814 Elm Street in the beautiful Beacon Building, where we are 5 days a week. The show brought to you by Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale and Company, and New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com.
We have so many official things, huh?
That's what it's all about, is product placement. That's right. I'm holding the official napkin of Food for Thought right now.
The official napkin?
That's right.
That's a paper towel.
Okay. Well, this is radio. You didn't have to, you know... Theater of the mind. This is really interesting.
This is very interesting.
Thanks for coming in, Lori.
Yes.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes. We're for those listeners tuning in, we are talking with my sister-in-law, Lori. My niece is sitting by, but she's being a little shy, so that's okay. It's okay. See, she really wants to, you know.
She wants to jump in. She sees, oh, mom can do this.
I can tell she might be getting a little more comfortable. But they just came back on a very big journey. And they walked the Camino Walk, started in the southwest of France, and then all the way over 500 miles to Santiago, Spain.
Yes.
Just amazing. So we just heard about, you know, was there at any point where did it level out, or where was it always?
Yes. In the middle, somewhere after about 250 miles, there's about a 4 or 5 day spread that they call the meseta, which is the flat almost boring, hot flatlands. And it's the only section of the trail that is not contoured at all.
Okay.
Yes.
You know what? The other day when we were chatting a little bit, or maybe I saw it on the blog, but let's talk about the story where, because we're going to talk about food and what food you ate, but when you came over the hill and you saw, what did you see?
The gentleman?
No, the golden arches.
Oh, we finally hit a very big city, Burgos, Spain, a very large metropolitan city. And we had to hike with our backpacks through the main city with skyscrapers and all of that. And there was one thing we saw up ahead. It was the Vegas Strip Hotel.
No.
Which we were shocked to see that.
No,
that was on the blog.
Way.
And then we saw the Golden Arches. And after 200-something miles, I'll tell you, that all I could think of was a Big Mac. It just, I could not wait. Of course, we went in.
We were
the only pilgrims in there.
Oh, my God.
But boy, was it good.
So you had a Big Mac.
Oh yeah. We ate French fries. We had it all. That was a treat for me because I didn't really like the food in Spain very much.
So what kinds of foods along the way?
So, you know, every morning our breakfast really was basically bread, cheese, a croissant, chorizo, which is like a salami. And that was basically it. That was all we really could find on the trail at the cafes. They did have a lot of vending machines at these cafes where you could buy bread in the vending machine. You could buy beer. You could buy wine. Kit Kats and Twix bars. I had Kit Kats and Twix bars almost daily. That was part of my diet. But they were what they offered us in the evening was called the Pilgrim Menu. And throughout the whole journey, these hostels would give you a three-course meal. The first course was soup, lentils, or a salad. The second meal was whatever meat they offered, usually pork or chicken, and then a dessert, which was flan. What are some of the other desserts that they have? An ice cream cone, just an ice cream cone that you get.
Like a soft serve or something?
No, the ones that come in the packages that you get at the
store. So just the cone, no ice cream.
Oh,
is that what you're saying?
Nutty Buddies or whatever you can get. Yeah, that's kind of what it was. So that was really what we had for dinner most nights. And if we got into a big city, like we did toward the end, a lot of people were looking forward to the delicacy of octopus, which was something offered. I wish I could remember the name of the town, but it was kind of a big city. But it's known for their octopus, and it was something that I think a lot of the pilgrims stopped and ate. I did not, but friends of ours did and enjoyed it. Actually, Amelia, my daughter, tried it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw the pictures, and it looked like the whole thing was in there uncooked.
Yeah, so basically it's an octopus, like completely whole. And they boil it, and once it's boiled, they'll cut it up and just chop up the legs of the octopus and put maybe like a little bit of seasoning, like paprika and olive oil, and you eat it just like that.
Was it tender? Because if it's...
It was pretty tender.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought it would be a bit chewy, but it tasted very similar to calamari, like unfried calamari.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. Is there like a dipping sauce like you would have a cocktail sauce with shrimp? Because
no,
it reminded me of massive shrimp. Looking at those legs hanging over the parfait glass.
Yeah.
I said, oh, wow, big shrimp. Oh, octopus. Yeah, shrimp doesn't have
suction cups.
Yeah, I know. Once you got past that, it was actually very good.
So what you're saying is you were more adventurous of an eater than your mom was?
I like seafood, I was more adventurous in that sense to try the seafood on the menus. Paella was also big on the pilgrim menus for the second course. It was all right. As we got to the end where they were more known for the seafood, the paella
they probably got
a lot better.
Yeah. Okay, so. All right.
They don't season much. Salt is a rarity. You have to ask for it. They do not use garlic. At least on the trail we were on from beginning to end, there's just not a whole lot of
bland. Sounds bland.
Yes.
Close quarters. I mean, you don't want to smell a bunch of people with garlic breath.
There were other smells, Mike, that we had. It would have been a pleasure to smell garlic. Yes. Yeah. And when we arrived at the end of the day, you know, when you've got 100 people there taking off their hiking shoes, mm-hmm. and men that, you know, just are present, it can be a problem. We had one place that we stayed at, and we had to tell the owner that there were four young men from France that I think had not showered.
Maybe their whole life.
Maybe, yeah, their whole hiking journey. Yes.
Ooh, wow.
So garlic would have been really nice to smell.
Yeah. So what was the first food you wanted when you got back to the States? Was there a craving or something, you know, other than the Big Mac?
When we left Spain and went to England to drop off Amelia, we went to Five Guys.
There you go.
Yep, all American burger.
Get that grease back into the system.
Yes.
All right.
Nice.
Yes.
Well deserved and well worth it.
Oh, and it was good. Oh, it was very good.
Now let's you know, you went and dropped off Amelia. So explain what Amelia's doing. And
so I'm very proud to explain what Amelia has done this last year. Amelia graduated from high school last year, and her interest was in ballet, but decided that career was something that she didn't want to do. She wanted, she's more of a giver of herself. So this last year she worked as a missionary in Manchester, England, through the St. Vincent de Paul order, and volunteered a year of her time working in a community of older men, about 40 men. And she does what's very similar to the occupational therapy. And I had the opportunity to visit this community with her and was moved to tears on several occasions to see these older men who have really burned their bridges because of alcoholism or addiction, so they don't really have family. To see them interact with Amelia really moved me. You know, she's made a difference in these men's lives, truly. Very touching. They love her. They call her Miss America.
Well, she does have a tiara on, so I kind of get that.
So that's what she's done. And after a year, she has decided to do it for one more year.
Really?
Yes.
Do most people like you go back for a second year, or is one and done for most of them?
Well, for my specific program, I'm actually the first to go back for a second year. But I think my placement has had a lot to do with it. I've been really blessed to be where I'm placed and working with these men every day. So I figured, why not one more year? And I'm actually getting my qualification in the United Kingdom to be a care worker. So when I finish this year, I'll be a certified care worker in the United Kingdom, which is well worth it.
How does this play into a career, perhaps, down the road? How does it play into what you'd like to do eventually?
Well, I'd like to do occupational therapy. So when I do come back to the States, I'm hoping to find a job here locally working as a care worker while I finish my studies at university.
Good for you. That's cool.
That is very cool. I am so proud of you, my niece.
Mm-hmm.
Just my godchild, yes.
Yes. And you have another sibling in Italy, too?
Yeah, my sister who lives in Italy.
So what's the deal? America's not good enough for you guys? What's going on here?
I don't know if I did something right or wrong.
No, that sounds wonderful. What a wealth of experience in different cultures and perspectives. So what? You have a daughter, right, in Italy?
Yes,
and,
yes.
And what is she doing there?
She actually is. She recently finished her studies, and she's working for an au pair company now that seeks to employ American au pairs with Italian families.
Sort of a reverse of how we would think of it in this country.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yes.
So there's a demand for American-born, well, primarily women, I would guess, to care for Italian families and kids.
Yes, absolutely.
Interesting.
Yes, mainly for the English language.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's I think the reason why it's specifically American. Yes.
Now let's just go back to the walk again, because we have maybe just a couple more minutes. And there's one story that you told that I really liked when you needed to go to the bathroom and you knocked on somebody's door. This is really...
Yes. So we were about 6 miles into a walk one morning, and you know, when you're walking on the trail and there's no trees. So we got to... it happens, Carol.
Do you just go? I mean, you must have to.
You know, you do a lot of praying and you figure it out. You have to figure it out. Not easy sometimes. I know. So, and then being a woman too, that's another complicated
other challenges,
thing.
Yes, yeah. Other challenges. For a guy, it's not a problem.
Right. Yeah. So this particular morning, we headed into a village and we were so thankful, but it was still very early in the morning and things were not open. And this was really a residential village.
Oh.
So we got desperate and knocked on someone's door of their home. And there was a man that had come to the door, and we explained to him in English. He does not speak English, not a word of English. We know the word baño, and he waved us over to come in and allowed all of us. And there, at the time, we had some other walkers with us. We used his bathroom. We were so grateful. Tried to communicate with him a little bit, but it was very difficult. And when we were all done, he motioned for us to walk with him around his house down a little hill, kind of not in the direction of the walk, but he wanted to show us something. And as we came over the hill, in the distance on a very large banking was the image of all continents of the United States made out of vegetation. So it was the outline of every continent, like a flat map.
Did he make it?
It took him 3 years to grow this.
Amazing.
Now, how do you know that if you can't speak in English?
Because I know a little Spanish. And what happened when we were talking to him, more people, more pilgrims started coming. So there was about 20 or 30 of us.
Somebody spoke the language a little bit,
yes,
right?
Okay. And they communicated to us that it took him 3 years to do this. And he was very proud of what he had done. And I did take a photo of it. I was amazed, just amazed.
See, that's probably the motivation for him to let you go to the bathroom so he could show off his topiary of the world or whatever it is.
Just amazing. Don't you have that on your blog?
Yes. Yes, so we did take photos.
Listeners can go to CaminoMentalHealthWalk.com and check out that picture because it is amazing. You know, and you see him, you know, in the forefront of it, and, you know.
He was very proud.
Yeah.
Very proud. And he had a very clean home, very clean bathroom, just a very proud Spaniard man. And just another example of how they welcomed people from all over the world into their country. It was a great experience. And I don't think we would have had that opportunity had we not knocked on his door and used his bathroom. We would have walked right beyond that and not even seen it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because can you imagine if somebody knocked on your door at 7 in the morning wanting to use the bathroom, you'd be calling 911.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Really, that the cultures are so different.
Very different.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Wow.
Wow. Just emotional. That is just amazing what you guys have experienced. So.
Yeah. It was not just a physical journey. It certainly was.
Sure.
Mentally and emotionally fulfilling as
and
well.
And you raised money along the way as
we
well?
We did. We raised, we went far beyond what we had exceeded. I think collectively, Hike for Mental Health is upwards to raising about $50,000 this year.
Fabulous.
Nonprofit.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank
awesome.
You.
Yeah, very
and
nice
then aren't you going to be doing a walk soon again up
August
Mount Washington?
22nd, we're headed up Mount Washington. That's an annual hike for mental health. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of link the Camino into this particular organization.
You do it on the auto road or Tuckerman's?
No, not Tuckerman's. It's the Jewel Trail.
Okay, got it.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
My nephew, Elliot, that you know Elliot, he did it barefoot.
He did?
Twice. Yes. Yeah. Hmm.
Amazing.
Again, why?
I'm
just curious.
The challenge. I think it's really the challenge. There are barefoot hikers. That is something that does exist. For him, I know it was a challenge, and he was very proud that he could do it. And
that's cool. Wow, good for him.
I wouldn't do it.
No.
That's going to be like a breeze to you to do that. You'll just be like skipping along. Like here we go.
In my head, I think it's going to be a breeze. I'm sure it won't be because it's a tough hike.
But there's more trees.
Yes,
when
there's more trees, and my backpack will not be as heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, thanks again. It was great to have you on today.
Thank you for
great story.
Very much.
Inspirational. Thank you, Amelia. You did well.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Carol. Thanks, Mike.
You are listening to Food for Thought. We are going to go on a short break, and when we come back, we are going to be speaking with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. I can't wait to hear what they raised with their Rafting for Wishes and how the week went last week. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. I'm assuming it's probably still raining outside, because I think they said it was going to rain most of the day, right?
Yes,
I believe.
Badly needed, but it'll lighten up a little later in the afternoon. So,
well, good.
Sorry, if all you golfers, the one day in August it rained and you had your tee time this morning.
Yeah, right. Well, it is time for our regular weekly segment with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. And we are just dying to find out how Rafting for Wishes went and what you raised. And, you know, was there any...
Well, there was a big reveal, too, also.
There was,
right,
yeah.
The big reveal at the end. So how was it?
So the wish child that we did the big reveal for actually sang us a rap song. That's why he thought he was going, and it was absolutely amazing. I actually took a video of it. I should put it up on our website for everyone.
Nice.
Yeah, it was so cool. And then Marine Patrol was there, and they whisked him away, and he was absolutely blown away by that, because his big wish is that he wanted to go on a Disney cruise. His parents met at Disney, and so he thought that would be a really cool thing for his family.
His parents met at Disney?
Oh, yeah. That's now, so sweet.
So were they just there as two separate people, or?
Yeah.
I mean, who goes to Disney alone? Or maybe they were with friends,
they could
or
have
like
been
girlfriends.
With friends. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never thought of that as a place to meet your wife
there you know.
Or husband.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I know.
Maybe Disney will come up with some kind of
DisneyDating.com.
Yeah.
So Disney was really special to their family.
Very nice.
Yeah. So they're there now, actually, right now.
So he found out about it at the end. And now, did he not know that his wish was going to be granted that day?
He knew that he might be leaving later because he's 17.
Oh.
And so, you know, hiding the suitcase was not all that easy. But he had no idea he was going to be whisked away by Marine Patrol and have all the fanfare. And, you know, so he had an inkling, but we still did a lot of surprising.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was really nice. And the event was amazing. I mean, it was 3 days full of activities, you know, all kinds of community members came to see it. I actually spent all day on Thursday out on the raft from like 9-10 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I wanted to see what it was like to be out there, because usually every year, you know, I'm ground support. And so it was amazing. I mean, wonderful conversations and games and activities and, you know, getting a little bit of sun when you wanted to. I mean, if people didn't want to, they could always go into the outside rafts. But it was, you know, all kinds of, you know, we had interns going out and playing games. But we quickly found out that they like the games the most when you're out there that don't have the rafts moving so much, you know, so you don't get, you know, a little tipsy or it gets to be too much. So, you know, we tried to keep the wish children visits to a low roll, because, of course, they wanted to do somersaults and everything else.
Like it's a big trampoline. Like,
yeah, okay. The rafting teams are looking green. Time for you guys to go in.
And you had bands. Yeah. You had a movie.
We had bands.
It's turned into a bona fide event.
Oh, absolutely. And so one of the big things for next year, because I sat there and I took some notes of some ideas that I had. So during the movie on Wednesday night, you can see it from both sides. So we thought, well, we'll change the movie up a little bit for next year and then send popcorn out to the rafters, because we didn't do that. So, you know, that'll be kind of a neat idea to do
that
for them.
Cool.
And the bands and the interactions from shore and everything were great all day on Thursday, and then it ended with fireworks, which was really cool. So you're sitting out on the raft, and the fireworks are literally, you know, right above you. And I remember saying that last time that we were going to do that, but actually experiencing it in the moment was really amazing. And so there's also a video up. I think it's on our site. I know it's on Facebook. Of we had all these glow balls out there. And so it's just a video. You can't see any people out on the raft, but you can see all the balls moving. That was a lot of fun. So, and it turns out it looks like we raised about $60,000, and still counting.
Fabulous.
So, fabulous. It's not quite as much as I wanted. So, you know, but stuff's still coming in. So hopefully we'll be able to bump that
What is your biggest single fundraising event during the year, or signature event, if you will?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We're trying to make the rafting really that signature event. Mm-hmm. But we, the Landmark Gala and the Landmark Golf Tournament are right up there for us.
Okay.
They raise $50,000-$60,000, and the Wildcat 100,000 vertical foot event. That's probably our single biggest one, that, and Wildcat does it for us. And we raise about $80,000 with that.
Whoa.
Which
now,
is
what
absolutely
is that?
Amazing. So we have people that sign up to do, I think, 48 runs top to bottom equals the 100,000 vertical feet at Wildcat. So they start at 7 o'clock in the morning, and usually most of them are done by 3 or 4 o'clock in the
Tag
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
Oh, no, no.
No, you mean?
One person.
One person, but several one persons, right?
Right, right. So
48?
48. 48
runs. What's
the
elevation of Wildcat?
100,000, I guess.
No, but, well, no, no.
Oh, no, no. You mean the elevation?
The mountain.
Oh, I should know that by heart.
Because, I mean, that's,
but it
takes, a killer.
But I know that to do the 100,000, it takes 48 runs. I think I figured that out.
That is
out.
Huge.
Yeah.
All right, so
it's huge. So yeah. We have
about 2,000.
20, 25 people that do it, and then they collect pledges. But we limit it because we want to make sure it's safe.
Right.
So you can't have more than that many people, and they close down one particular trail that's top to bottom, and everybody does that. So that's an amazing event. And then the other one is actually this coming weekend, because, you know, there's no rest for the weary, and that's the Timberman Triathlon, and we usually raise $70,000 with that. And that's Wish Racers, who go out and they actually do the triathlon this weekend in Guilford up at Ellicoya,
which is swimming, bike riding,
yeah.
And what else?
Swim bike and run.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and that's, you know, beyond. I actually last year got really tired and had a sore arm from just saying, wet towel? So I just can't even fathom
awesome.
That they do this, you know. And we'll have a big tent area, you know, at Ellicoya. We'll be doing a kids race at Gunstock because they're all part of it. And then we also have a water station along the run route.
So right now, for listeners that are listening, can they still be a part of this?
Oh, absolutely.
Or?
Yeah. You know, if you wanted to come and do it, but I'm sure you've had to train for months and months
right,
and months,
right,
so that's
right.
Probably
that,
out. But come and help us cheer
support it
and support
yes.
It, because what we try to do is really, you know, engulf the Wish Racers in appreciation while they're there. And be along the route and cheer them on, because they find that really inspirational. We'll have Wish Kids all around the route to kind of cheer them on. And, yeah, makes it kind of extra special for them and gives them that extra push.
It was really nice
to make it through.
To speak to one of the originals of this event when it began 5 years ago or so, Jason Perry, of course, from the Verizon Wireless Arena.
Yeah.
But you don't have a bigger cheerleader for him than this.
He is amazing, and he's okay. So we figured it out. Over 200 hours he's been on the raft for the rafting event.
Wow.
I think it was 210. I'm trying to remember the math. We're doing it Thursday on the raft.
Well, 44 times 5 is 220. So.
Yeah, but the first 2 years it was 36.
Oh, it was.
So that's where the yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was the individual biggest fundraiser this year.
Was
yeah.
he?
Yep.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a good
wonderful.
Guy.
You know, a team in himself.
For sure. Well, thanks for the update on Rafting for Wishes and some of the other events that you have coming up. And keep us posted.
All right.
It's all good.
All right. Thanks.
Sure.
All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. We've come to an end. And Ken Kale is in the house in the Beacon Building. So Kale and Company is up next. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.
Yeah.
Have friends or family who are caring.